Now I want to talk about the types of businesses that may be affected by these penalties. The definition of a contractor can be found in Section 59 of the Finance Act 2004. Section 59(1) refers to any person carrying on a business which includes construction operations. HMRC's Construction Industry Scheme Reform Manual identifies such businesses as mainstream contractors, but it also identifies any subcontractor to a contract for construction operations who engages subcontractors to carry out any of that work. And any person carrying on a business or certain bodies whose expenditure on construction operations exceeds certain limits. These are known as deemed contractors in the guidance. Deemed contractors, however, are unlikely to be affected very much in terms of the imposition of and changes to the CIS penalty regime. What is a major area of concern is the subcontractor who engages subcontractors to carry out construction operations. To explain this issue, we also need to understand the definition of a subcontractor, which can be found in Section 58 of Finance Act 2004. It says, for the purposes of this chapter, a party to a contract relating to construction operations is a subcontractor if, under the contract, A, he is under a duty to the contractor to carry out the operations or to furnish his own labour, in the case of a company, the labour of officers or employees of the company, or the labour of others in the carrying out of the operations, or to arrange for the labour of others to be furnished in the carrying out of the operations. Or B, he is answerable to the contractor for the carrying out of the operations by others, whether under a contract or under other arrangements made or to be made by him. Now, within the mainstream construction industry, there are a variety of contractors, starting often on big sites with the main contractor that will engage other subcontractor businesses, who then become a contractor that carries out the construction operations. These may be bricklaying companies, roofing companies, etc. These contractors will use either their own labour force or perhaps more likely a self-employed labour force of mainly labour-only subcontractors. Many labour-only subcontractors that were engaged by contractors before the start of the current construction industry scheme were told by their contractors that they would not be re-engaged as individual labour-only subcontractors from April 2007. Some agreed to operate through a limited company, offering the protection of IR35 demanded by their contractor. Some of these new businesses may have naively agreed that their former colleagues could continue to work for the contractor, paying them through the new limited company. How many of these businesses were oblivious to the fact that they had become a contractor, as the subcontractor who engages subcontractors to carry out any of that work? That work being construction operations. Here we have an example of a contractor that fails to register as a contractor in the construction industry scheme, therefore failing to submit monthly CIS 300 returns, and as a consequence incurs monthly fixed penalties that build up as the error caused by ignorance continues to multiply. In this example, the new contractor, being oblivious to the requirements, will also fail to verify the tax payment status of the subcontractors paid by the business. AAT members will remember that with the abolition of the tax exemption certificates that existed in the two previous schemes, there is now a requirement in the current scheme that a contractor must verify any new subcontractor before making the first payment to that subcontractor for construction operations. Payments to subcontractors that are not registered or whose tax payment status has not been verified should strictly be made subject to the 30% higher rate of CIS tax deduction. HMRC may accept that the tax that the new contractor has failed to deduct was only 20% if the subcontractor who was paid by the contractor was previously registered as a subcontractor under the scheme. Sticking with this example, I would assume that the contractor will have suffered standard rate deductions of 20% on the payments it will have received from its contractor. This means that we could argue that there would be no tax loss to HMRC as the deductions it should have made from the subcontractor and then paid over to HMRC could have been set off against the CIS deductions that it had suffered as a subcontractor itself. However, the ability to set off CIS deductions suffered by a subcontractor is only available to limited company subcontractors. It is not an option for sole traders or partnerships. Under the Section 98A penalty provisions, the absence of any tax lost is of no consequence to the fixed penalties that are charged. I have seen cases of individual subcontractors and partnerships that have taken on self-employed workers to assist with a contract, and where there has been a failure to recognise that the individual or partnership has then become a contractor, should therefore then have registered as a contractor, should therefore have verified the subcontractors and deducted and paid over to HMRC the appropriate CIS deductions. In every case that I have seen, there have been failures to submit monthly CIS 300 returns, and the fixed penalties have been racking up. Having looked at some examples of individuals and businesses already working in the construction industry scheme, let us consider other situations where individuals or businesses outside of the mainstream construction industry may have failed to register as contractors. And for many, probably they continue to do so. Whether this is in ignorance and being oblivious to the statutory requirements, or just with the intention of avoiding joining the club, unless forced to do so by HMRC. We have considered the definition of a contractor and identified the types of businesses that are called as mainstream contractors by Section 59(1) of Finance Act 2004. Let us now consider the persons and businesses that are not contractors, but that will make payments for construction operations. First, we might consider the persons or businesses that incur expenditure of less than £1 million per annum, averaged over 3 years, and therefore do not become deemed contractors. There are also the businesses that perhaps were deemed contractors under the previous construction industry scheme regimes, but are now excluded under the own build rules of Regulation 22. And of course, there is Joe Public. Domestic householders who make payments to sole traders, partnerships, and company businesses are specifically excluded from being contractors within the construction industry scheme, notwithstanding that they may make payments for construction operations when they have an extension built, or a kitchen fitted, or other work done that may come within the scope of the scheme. AAT members who have attended the CPD master courses may remember me pointing to the businesses like kitchen suppliers who will sometimes arrange for the householder to pay the fitter for the fit-in, keeping those payments outside of the scope of the construction industry scheme. This is because the payments are made direct by the householder to the subcontractor. The payments for construction operations made by these individuals or businesses are outside the scope of the scheme. But, and it's an important but, when the individuals or businesses that undertake the work then engage their own self-employed labour, as opposed to using employees, the self-employed workers are subcontractors and the paymaster is a contractor within the construction industry scheme. This is yet another example of individuals or businesses that have been caught by the construction industry scheme penalty provisions, and it is likely that there are a lot of such individuals and or businesses that are still unaware of their potential liabilities. Therefore, those of us that are advisors need to get the message across to our clients.